uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, we hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. My beautiful mama, Eva Fleming, is over there running the iPad, and our guest this morning is our beautiful sister in Christ, Miss Mary Fullerton. How are you doing this morning, beautiful?
I'm just doing great.
Amen. We're so glad you can come and share God's word with us.
I'm glad I have this opportunity.
You always bring good food to this table. And I know the Lord prepared it in your heart just for us for today.
Yes.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we have started getting them all posted to our website. Tina stayed yesterday for a while and got some posted. I'm so blessed. We're so blessed to have her here with us. Mm-hmm. Our sponsor for today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located right here in Elk City at 616 North Locust Avenue, Apostle Casey Elliott. And today's not Thursday. It's only Tuesday. However, I forgot last week to do the truth broadcast. So y'all are just going to get the double blessing this week with two doses of the truth broadcast. So today, following the program, Pastor Dwight is not in the building. However, we will have a word from him, and it's going to be thorns and roses. So stay tuned after the program. We'll end it and then reset the iPad and come back with truth broadcast, thorns and roses. Miss Mary, would you please pray to start us out this morning?
Father, we just give you praise this morning for this privilege, Lord, and this opportunity to share. Father, we thank you, Lord. Lord, and we can't do anything without you, Lord. And we just ask you, Father, to come and anoint us, Lord. Anoint your word. Anoint the ears of your listeners and their hearts and their minds to receive your word today. Let it be a word of encouragement to them, Lord, to lift them up and to help them in their daily walk, Lord Jesus. And we give you praise and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title, Spirit of Excellence.
Yes. This word just came to me, and so I looked it up in the dictionary. I like to go get the definition of things that I'm going to talk about. And so I looked up the word excellence in the dictionary, and it said excellence is something that has an outstanding and superior quality to it. It is eminently good, and it exceeds all others. It is first class, and it's full of virtue. And so I want to read some scriptures in Daniel. What got me started on this is I was reading in Daniel, and I ran across this verse about the excellent spirit of Daniel. And in Daniel 5:12, it says, "Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting of dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas was found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation. The king had had a dream, and he called for all of his wise men, and they could not tell him the meaning of this dream. But there was someone in his, I think it was his mother, that came to him and said, you know, when your father was king, he had a dream. And this Daniel was of the children of Israel, and they were in bondage in Babylon. The Israelites had ignored God and disobeyed him so much that the Lord allowed Babylon to come in and possess Israel and take all the Israelites to Babylon. And they had been there for quite a while. And so Daniel was down there. And anyway, like I said, the kings had these dreams, and somebody told him about Daniel. They said, we were in prison, and we had a dream. There were two of them. One was a baker, and one was a butcher or something. But anyway, he said, we've had this dream, and we told these dreams to Daniel, and he interpreted them for us. So he could probably interpret your dream for you. And so they called for Daniel. And Daniel 5:12 says, inasmuch as there is an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting of dreams, solving of riddles, and explaining enigmas, was found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. He said, now let Daniel be called, and he will give you the interpretation. And so Daniel came, and it said the result of this was in Daniel 6, and the third verse it says, then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. And so when you have an excellent spirit, you know, it sets you up for success and prosperity. You know, we were talking before about being in a good employee on the job, and somebody that will always do the right thing and do it with excellence, they're going to go far. They're going to be promoted, you know, in all the areas of life. And so that was Daniel. Now there was another man that it didn't exactly say that he was of an excellent spirit, but he served. He had been sent to prison, and he was serving this guy named Potiphar, and he was framed because Joseph was diligent to serve the Lord. He loved God with all of his heart, and he did everything right. But Potiphar was his boss, and it said that Potiphar was well pleased with him. He turned all of his business over to Joseph. And he didn't even know anything that was going on in his business. The only thing that he knew was what was set in front of him to eat every day. He knew what he was eating. But the rest of his business, Joseph did it. But Potiphar had a wife, and she got to liking Joseph, and she wanted him to be with her. And he kept refusing and kept refusing and kept refusing. And one day she laid hold on him, and he fled from her presence. The Bible says he went into the house to do his work, and there was nobody there but her. And she laid hold on him and wanted him to be with her. And he kept telling her, the only thing that your husband has not shared with me is you. And that's because you're his wife. You know, and I can't do this because it would be a sin against God. How can I sin against God? And she laid hold on him, and the Bible says that he fled from her presence. He left his garment in her hands, and she used that to frame him. She waited until her husband came home, and then she said, that Jewish servant that you had came in to lie with me. And she said, and I screamed, and when I screamed, he left. And he left his garment here. Well, her husband believed her. Potiphar believed her. So he believed that lie, and he went in through Joseph in jail, in prison. And he was there in prison. And so I want to read the account to you in Genesis 39, verse 7. It says, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. And there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up the garment by her until his lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. And so now I want to go to Genesis, up at the top, Genesis, and Genesis 45 is where I want to be, 45, and I want to go to verse 5, verse 5, yeah, now therefore, he went to prison. And he was in prison for quite a while. And there were these two guys with him in prison, and they both had a dream. And so Joseph interpreted their dreams for them. And then later, the king had a dream, and none of his wise men could interpret his dream. And so this baker that had been restored, his dream had been that he had pressed the cup into Pharaoh's hand like he used to. And the interpretation of his dream was he was going to be restored back to his position, and it happened. So when the king had this dream, and his other wise men couldn't interpret it for us, this baker told him, he said, "Oh, I remember this guy in prison. His name was Daniel, and he interpreted my dream. I bet he could interpret yours too." So the king got him and brought him in before him. And so it says, now therefore, he got restored. Daniel got restored back to his place. And then later, his dream was that there was going to be 7 years of, the king's dream was that there was going to be 7 years of plenty. And then after that, there was going to be 7 years of famine. And it happened. And during the time of famine, it was a wide-reaching famine. And it affected even where Daniel used to live in Israel. And so it affected Israel. And so, but Israel heard that in Babylon there was food because Daniel was down there. And so they went down there to buy food. And it was Daniel's brothers that went down there to buy food. And, you know, the story, they were jealous of him. And so they sold him into slavery to these people that were in Babylon. And so that's where all of this goes. And so they went down there. Well, when all of this happened, when the dream came to pass, Daniel told the king, he said, "You need to look out. Pick out a guy that can handle all your resources and that'll save back this food for the years of famine." And they said, "Well, what better man is there to handle that than you?" And so they put him over all of the food supply in Babylon. And so when Daniel's brothers came to get food, they didn't recognize him. But he recognized them. And Joseph. And so Joseph, I was started out with Daniel and Joseph, but this was Joseph. He he told his brothers, he finally acknowledged who he was before them. The second time they came back to get food, he made known, because they brought his younger brother to see him, and so Benjamin. And so when he saw him, then he made known that he was Daniel. And they were really surprised. They were really disturbed. And he said to them, inasmuch, he said, now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourself that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. And so I want you to look at the excellent spirit that Joseph had. It didn't say, you know, in the reading of that he was, that he had an excellent spirit. But how many people, I mean, look at him. He could have been bitter against the lot in life, because he was sent down and he was a slave. And then he had lies told on him, and he was sent to prison for something he didn't do. And he was left there for years. And then he finally came out, and he got promoted. But then when he had an opportunity to get revenge on his brothers, he had this excellent spirit about him. He said, don't let it bother you. God sent me here. God sent me here. He said, you didn't. He said, you thought you were doing it, but God sent me here so that I can preserve your lives. He saw the bigger picture. And so he said, haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me. Tarry not, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee. See, he had an opportunity to do them bad, to pay them back. But here he's going to nourish them. For yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And you shall tell my father of all of my glory in Egypt, and of all that you have seen. And you shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all of his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. And so then Pharaoh found out about it, and he said, well, I agree with Joseph. Why don't you call your family down here? And here I'm going to give you some carts. Take these carts and bring your children and your father in these carts. They didn't even have to walk. And he said, bring them into Goshen, and they'll stay in the best part of the land. So he sent them wagons for them to get their wives and their children. And so they did that. And so they came and they lived in the land of Babylon with Joseph. And then they liked it there. And they were doing really good. But then that king died. And there was another king that rose up in their place that didn't have the same appreciation for the Israelites and for Joseph as the first Pharaoh did. And so he began to afflict the children of Israel and really make them serve with hard labor and everything. And so they began to cry to God to deliver them. And God heard them and raised up a deliverer for them. And so he brought them back into the land of Canaan. And so anyway, but we're talking about the spirit of excellence. You know, sometimes you're gonna have adversity come your way. And you can get mad at God and you can get bitter at people. And it's just going to make your situation worse. But you can, the word says for us to praise God in all things. And now that's hard. That's hard. But it really shows that we are God's children. And he's looking down at us and he's hearing us praise him. And he can't help it. He just has to bless us. You know, and so he delivers us out of our trouble, and he brings us out, and he sets us in a promised land. He sets us in a promised land, and that's what he did. Because see, God had told the descendants of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of those that he was going to give them the land of Canaan for their inheritance. And then they had to go down into Egypt to survive. And then God brought them out of bondage and brought them back into the promised land. And that's what God does for us. He has a promised land for us. And if we keep the spirit of excellence, he'll let us possess our promised land. The promises of God are yes and amen. And so There's a verse in Job 37, 22 and 23, and it says, "With God is awesome majesty. As for the Almighty, we cannot find him. He is excellent in power." There's that word, and it's describing God. And God is very excellent in power. He's excellent in power, in judgment, and he's abundant justice. And he does not oppress. He gives us the best. He gives us the best of the land. He said, there's a verse that says, God gives us the best. And he adds no sorrow. He adds no sorrow. And so we want to stick with God, and because he's excellent in power and we're supposed to represent him, then we're called to be excellent. We're called to be excellent. 2 Corinthians 4 and 7 and 8 and 9 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed." Why? Because God's on our side, and he fights our battles for us.
Amen. Would now be a good time for prayer requests?
Yes. Uh-huh. Okay.